Hi, everyone. This is Lisa Gunther with Canadian Cattlemen, and I'm here again with Kelly Sidorek with Depth of Field. And we are here to talk HR on the farmer ranch and really putting women kind of at the center of that discussion. So, Kelly, tell me a little bit about what you've been pondering lately.
Thank you. Part of the prompt came from a pretty good series at FCC, a virtual couple of webinars that were available. And in one of the first ones, Victoria Schuler, who works with FCC, was really talking about, you know, getting more formal from the HR point of view. She also used a really good analogy for anybody that has some little kids in their life and is reading the Go Dogs Go book. There's a picture close to the end where there's a female dog going up the tree, and she's like balancing things all over, head, hat, has many things, hands, legs. And I thought that was a good analogy, because I think very often women in agriculture, which is what we know, or I know, find themselves in that position of, holy man, how many things am I going to have to juggle because of all the different roles? And that's a great thing. We have lots of excellent opportunities, but sometimes that areas there of responsibility do often fall to the women, I think.
Yeah, I think that's still largely true. One thing you wrote about was, and I mean, actually, this is something that I've sort of started to notice when people talk about work-life balance. It's like,
yes,
is that what does that mean? And so you wrote about, or somebody mentioned work-life sway.
Yes. Yeah. That was actually Caitlin Kitsan, and she was one of the speakers at our Women in Ag conference, Emerge, last November that we held in Lloydminster. And she came through the Do More Ag group. That's who she was speaking with. And she said, like, be realistic, you know, that there isn't a work-life. It's never going to be in balance. I mean, even if you think of a teeter-totter, and certainly for the seasonality of agriculture, you know, I mean, sometimes when planting or harvesting or calving is really going 9-0, it's going to be skewed one way, mm-hmm. which it should be, right? I think the offshoot of that is hopefully we have the opportunity to be able to have some more downtime. Certainly in the winter is one where we can hopefully get a little bit closer in that. Another concept that she talked about that I thought was really interesting, and she was using it with some guidance on her own family's operation with their harvest crew, is just the check-in in the morning when it was busy is, mm-hmm. you know, what level's your battery at? And then, you know, so then it's like fully charged, completely depleted, somewhere in the middle. I thought that was a good strategy to, in kind of a relatable topic of just be for the fellas just to say, you know, this is where I'm doing on that. And I thought that was good as well.
Yeah, I can see that kind of making it just becomes like a shorthand on the farm, right?
Truly.
That makes sense.
Truly.
Yeah.
And when you do have that and recognize that somebody at the check-in said, like, I am done. Well, they might need some more support that day.
Yeah.
And simple, but yeah, practical at the same time.
Yeah. So another speaker you mentioned was Anessa Good
Hassard.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And many will know that she has done a lot of work in the area of succession and transition following, in her dad's footsteps, or following alongside, I'm going to rephrase that, alongside her dad, Merle Good, who did a lot of work in through Alberta agriculture, helping people with those challenges. And I love what Anessa brings, you know, kind of the youthful young lens to it, because for her experience, she's got a lot of experience, but she can see it through sort of both lenses. And I think that's helpful when she starts talking about different things that she's experienced and that we can apply. And one of the things that she talks about is that perceptions are so different and can really be impactful if we're not understanding the other person's perspective and taking the time to do that.
Yeah. Did she have any just examples of different perceptions, perhaps on the same?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but just, you know, when there's an incident that, you know, somebody may have perceived as being hurtful and even, you know, a bit diminishing. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, a few years later, talking around that around the family table, and they're like, I was actually only joking. You know, I just meant that in fun, the other person. And yet sometimes for years, those different perspectives get carried on. And yeah, so I think it's good, again, to have those conversations. Again, if we can improve the communication in our team and thinking of better ways to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we've all kind of perhaps been witness that or whatever, right? When there's just people assume intentions or just maybe a little, just not thinking about how it lands. Yeah, on the other side.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And maybe that's part of it, is just taking a little bit of time to see how it lands. Because logically, I know this is to be true, and I've said it lots and lots, but you know, I just like, don't you see the world as I do? It seems so clear and obvious, but no, nobody does. Everybody's unique. That's the beauty of it. Let's get those different perspectives in, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and actually, interestingly, Anessa was interviewed for an article by another writer at Cattleman, Billy J. Miller, she actually lives in your neighborhood as well, for the April issue. So good. Readers will get a little bit more perspective from her again. Yeah. So.
And I also appreciate many things about Anessa, but she is thinking out of the box too. So, you know, when you start thinking of what the organizational structure should look like, you know, like in past it, you know, it kind of was in this one box, and whoever was going to be the farmer gets that box, and the others, you know, maybe there's a bit of other non-farm ranch resources that can be distributed. But, you know, really thinking of different things, that maybe there's a piece that could be carved out for a smaller enterprise that somebody can do. Maybe the really important thing is there needs to be a gathering point somewhere on that farm where everybody can come to. So, you know, then if a house gets moved and the next generation comes in and takes over, they might not be open to that idea, you know? So just, I think, thinking about all of those things. And then, of course, the impacts of what the, you know, the legal and the tax implications that are coming forward to be mindful of that. But certainly something that I stress and had learned and heard everybody talking about is make sure you, as your own family and enterprise, have a good idea of what you want before going to the professionals and getting a plan from them. It needs to be driven by the family. Hard stuff, but I really do believe that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess what happens if it's not driven by the family? Do they just kind of end up potentially signing on to something they later realize they don't really like?
Yes. Yes. And it is complicated. We need the professionals to help us through it, but sometimes you just want it to be over with too. But whereas I think if you can have a clear path, and maybe the path isn't that clear, if you can have a vision that this is some of the options of where we'd like to land with this, then that can help a lot too. That also makes me think of the Beckard Harris change model, where we think about the ability to change is strongly influenced by our level of dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. It's influenced by, do we have a vision of what it could be? And do we have some clear first steps? And that really resonated with me, because I think we all feel resistant to change. But so then if we can think about what's the level of dissatisfaction, well, certainly in the succession area, there'll be all different kinds of take on that. Some will be very frustrated. Some will say, oh, this isn't too bad, right? Being able to talk about that, like, where is everybody at? Then what about, do we see a vision beyond? Can we spend some time creating that? And then is there some simple first steps that aren't gigantic? Because it's an overwhelming task sometimes.
It is. Yeah, it is. And I can also see if, I mean, that makes sense for so many things. If you are relatively satisfied, why would you, even if really things need to change, why would you
honestly,
yeah.
So maybe that formula, if you will, can guide some conversations, if nothing else. Yeah.
So start with, what is the satisfaction level? Vision, first steps.
Yeah.
It all sounds so simple right now.
Yeah, it does.
We
we get a nice
pave into mathematic formulas, but sometimes it does help to remove some of the emotion out too, just to, or as a talking point, if nothing else.
Yeah, and just to have maybe just like a little bit of structure. Yeah, talking point structure, something to get it going.
Yeah.
You know, and know how to, what direction to move in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And helping to get people on the same page. That can be useful for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What is Anessa saying? Perception is reality and facts are negotiable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is exactly what she says. She also makes the analogy of it being a roller coaster ride. And I think that's very true too.
Yeah, I can see both those things. And when you're talking about levels of satisfaction or dissatisfaction, that's where that those perceptions might differ quite a bit.
Hugely.
You know,
hugely.
Maybe not, but some I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Great. Anything else you want to add, Kelly?
No, I think that's fantastic.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
See you, Lisa.